Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Praise God.
And we want to begin to consider some of these things that are very important for a leader. It is one thing to have a leadership title, but it is another thing to have or possess the leadership life. This teaching will enhance our knowledge as leaders, and it will also provide aid to our work as Christian leaders. As a leader, you have more responsibility on your shoulders compared to a mere follower. You have the responsibility to lead yourself and the responsibility to lead others. In other words, you are saddled with the task to carry yourself somewhere and also to carry another person. And so you cannot afford to be foolish. You cannot afford to be careless, because your mistake can be very damaging, not only to you, but to everyone who is connected with you and to everyone who depends on your ability to lead. There are some, even though they have eyes, but they are using your eyes to see as a leader. There are some, even though they have legs, but they are using your own legs to walk as a leader. So you must always understand that behind you are a multitude of persons that will fail if you fail. There are a queue behind you that will mess up if you mess up. Praise the Lord. In the course of leadership, some men have been projected that do not fit the mold of Christian leadership. And to follow the examples, Christian leaders in the pulpit ministry and otherwise have veered off the cardinals that Jesus Christ laid down for us. Oftentimes, there are people that have been projected into leadership positions who are not even fit for the mold, for the standard of leadership. Somehow, maybe their exposure took them there. Maybe their giftings or their talents, or sometimes who they know, have taken them to positions of leadership that they are not qualified for. And most of the times, even in Christian leadership, this occurs. There are some who are in the pulpit ministry who has no business in that place. There are some who are bearing the title pastors who have no business with the pulpit ministry, but they are pastors for one reason or the other. Like Paul will say, there are apostles made by men, and there are apostles called by God. So there are some arrangement that men may have to suit their selfish interests, and they will look for somebody who will be most qualified to project that interest and present the person or front the person as a leader. It doesn't only happen in the secular world. It happens even in the body of Christ. And a lot of times, copying them, looking at such leaders, a lot of other Christians are veered off the principles of leadership that Christ laid down for his church. Because whether you like it or not, men will always have other men they look up to. Now, everything you will become in this world will not be given to you directly by God. There are some of the things that you will need to have that he has placed in the hands or in the custody or in the possession of others, and he will expect you to get them from those people. And a lot of times, For you to get something from somebody, you need to lay down a lot of things, including submitting to that person's instructions, even when it is not convenient with you. And let me say this, your goal as a Christian should not just be to occupy leadership position or to carry leadership title, but it should be to provide leadership not only for your time, but beyond your time, you should provide generational leadership. That after you are no longer here, many years after you have gone, men will still refer to your impact. Today in Nigerian politics, mostly in the West, you will always hear the woes. The impact that Awolowo laid down for the Western people. And so people will always refer to it as a standard for leadership, as a standard for politicians. Was he the only politician in his time, in his generation? No. There were others who vied for position. There were others who had positions. But they just occupied office and left. But a man came and impacted his generation, impacted the people, influenced people. And let me say this very clearly, that leadership is about influence. And ever since he left, many years after his death, men are still referring to his kind of leadership. That's where God wants you to be. The Bible says the disciples of Jesus turned the world upside down after they spent 3 years and 6 months with Jesus. They were so impacted that they were able to influence people who followed them, even though they were not as educated as others. But they received this influence. They received this mind rubbing with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they were able to follow up. So let's begin to consider, what are the matters that matter in Christian leadership or in leadership in general? Number one, blindness. Blindness. Luke chapter 6, verse 39 to 42. Blindness. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. What you see or not see is a cardinal matter in your effectiveness as a leader. Write it down, don't forget it. What you see or what you are not seeing is a cardinal matter, is an important matter in the effectiveness of your leadership. The subject of ability to see, the subject of blindness should not be swept under the carpet as far as leadership is concerned. And Jesus said, what can we say? If the blind man lead the blind man, would they both not fall into a ditch? And you know the answer. Praise God. But you know, interestingly today, even in the body of Christ, there are many blind men that are leading blind men. And there are many blind men that are leading people that are seeing. Praise God. A lot of leaders have become blind. They have eyes and yet they cannot see. So blindness in leadership is very, very dangerous. It can be very damaging. What you see or what you are not seeing is cardinal to how effective you will be in leadership. I've listened to a lot of our political leaders. And then you can begin to see the depth of blindness in the leaders that we have. And little wonder our nation is crawling. Praise God. Blindness in leadership. God told Abraham, lift up now thy eyes as far as your eyes can see. Jesus said, from henceforth, know no man by the flesh. Try to see beyond the walls so that you can be able to operate, so that you can be able to be effective. There are four scenarios that are possible under this blindness. Number one, the sighted leading the blind, which is a good scenario. It's a good arrangement. When somebody that is seen is the one leading the person that is not seen. Second possibility is the blind leading the sighted. And I call that bad leadership. That the person you are leading is seeing farther than you. Praise God. Can you imagine your little child of 2 years? You are carrying the child on your back. And then you are going somewhere. And it's the child that is telling you, Daddy, this road you are taking is wrong. We should take the other side. 2 years old is the one telling you, 40 years old man, where to go. He said, Daddy, don't enter that place. Don't enter that place. If you enter that place, you will fall. Praise God. So there is another possibility of the blind leading people who are seeing. If you are going to be effective in your leadership in this kingdom, you need to be a spiritual technocrat. I said, if you are going to be effective in the leadership of this kingdom where we belong to, you need to be what? A spiritual technocrat. Now, you must understand spirituality to the point that you are able to explain what the indices are and what they represent. Number three scenario, the blind leading the blind. I score that as very bad leadership. The blind leading the blind. There are a lot of churches that typify that. Members are blind. Pastor is also blind. Praise God. Very bad. Amen. You see, where the pastor of the church is married to 3 wives, he's planning to marry the 4th one. And all the members are saying, this is the best man of God we have ever met. The man is blind and his followers are blind. Praise God. Nobody's seen anything. You see, this is our man of God. He's highly loaded. He's planning to marry the 4th one. No, I read about a church last year that the general overseer said that God has called him to impregnate women. And you know he has members. He impregnated a mother and also went on to impregnate the daughter. And he has members. And he said that is the calling he has received. Praise God. Blind man. And the people he's leading is also blind. That's a very bad leadership. And the Bible says, if these kind of people continue together, they will do what? Their destination is inside the pit. They are not going anywhere. Number four possibility, the sighted, leading the sighted. I call that a very good leadership. Praise God. Remember number one, I said, the sighted, leading the blind, I score it as good. And number four, I said, the sighted, leading the sighted. Can you imagine in the Church of Jesus Christ where the pastor is operating under the gift of the Holy Spirit and all the members are also operating under the gift of the Holy Spirit? Praise God. The 9 gift of the Holy Spirit is operating in the church. The pastor is highly anointed. He has the gift of discernment of the Spirit. He has the gift of the word of knowledge. He has the gift of faith. And members are also demonstrating this power, operating in this power. You discover that everybody is seen. So when there is sloppiness in one area, the other area will fasten it up. Praise God. That's the best kind of leadership, and God wants us to be there. Where the sighted are leading the sighted. Amen. God will take us there. That's the kind of scenario
The man that is up there is seen. The choir leader is active. The members are also active spiritually. And then today, the leader stands in the men's unit and says, let us pray against accident. In fact, I saw the devil planning an accident for our member. And while they are praying, another member raises his hands and said, while we were praying, God specifically mentioned, brother, this. The leader saw an accident. No specification. But while they are praying, God ministers to a member and he mentions somebody's name specifically. That is the sighted leading the sighted. Everybody is happy. If there is any mistake somewhere, one will correct the other. Praise God. Because what you are seeing, and I'm also seeing it. Amen. That's where God wants us to be. Every leader must understand that his or her office is an eye to the blind. That's why more demands are placed on you because you are a leader. That's why you have to do more tasks because you are a leader. Why? Your eye, your office, your title should be an eye, should provide something for the person that is following you to see. What that simply means is that if a follower decides to close his eyes and follow you, the follower should be guaranteed safety. Even though he has his both eyes, but he decided not to use his both eyes, he should be confident enough that your eye will take both of you through. What that means is that let a member under your leadership be confident to say, even if I don't read the Bible at all, what this my leader is telling me is true. I don't need to confirm it. Amen. That's the responsibility you have as a leader. A leader brings not only a vision. Vision is a mental picture of the future. A leader does not only bring vision, but a leader brings the equipment and the instrument, the tools with which the people that he is given the vision will be able to see. There are some leaders that are not effective simply because they are not able to communicate the vision that they have of God. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Bible said, I will stand upon my watch and watch to see what the Lord will say to me. And the Lord said, write the vision and make it plain upon table. So it is one thing to receive the vision. It is another thing to make the vision clear and plain for those who read it may run with it. Praise God. Somebody can come and talk about big vision. I said, listen to me, all of you. By next week, we are going to build a skyscraper office. He's telling his member, big vision. And then the people are beginning to say, how on earth would this be possible? And he leaves them there. He has not told them the equipment, the tools, the how we are going to get there. By just simply telling them, don't worry, the vision may look big, but I'd like us to begin small today. Tomorrow we are going to start molding blocks, and then next month we are going to open the ground and put the blocks. And then we'll continue like that. That's the equipment, the tools, the instruments provided for that vision to be simplified. One of the key abilities that God gives a leader is the ability to simplify difficult things. But there are some leaders that have a demonic anointing to make simple things to look very difficult. Praise God. That's a demonic anointing, demonic unction. That when they begin to tell their followers something that is very simple, their followers will see it as something that is impossible. We will never be able to do it. But there are some leaders that, no matter how difficult the thing is, when they begin to explain it, it gives motivation to those who are hearing. Let us go up at once. Can you imagine the 12 leaders that were chosen by Moses to go spy out the land of Canaan? 10 of them came back. They had this demonic anointing to make simple things difficult. And they told the people that the sons of the Anaks are there. And mind you, they are all giants. And as if that was not enough, they said, before them, we were like grasshoppers. Praise God. And those are people who have demonic anointing to complicate simple things. And there are some leaders like that. You know, they were all leaders. They say we were like grasshoppers. And the Bible says when the people heard it, they lifted up their voice and began to weep until they had no more strength in them to weep. Amen. Now, can you imagine yourself as a leader when you finish talking, all your followers are saying, oh God, we are finished. Amen. Somebody comes and tell you, Pastor, I have messed up. In fact, if you see what I've done, I don't think God will ever be able to forgive me. I don't know how to go forward. And you look at the person. I said, when you were doing it, you didn't know. You are a stupid person. In fact, your own is finished. I even thought it was a small sin. I don't know you committed this kind of big sin. You and God will handle it. Praise God. I don't know how to help you. If it was a small thing, amen. And the person goes back home and begins to feel worthless. Amen. You have just made something simple to become very difficult. Can you imagine Jesus? They came to him and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And by the law of Moses, it is stipulated that anybody that is caught in this act should be stoned to death. And Jesus said, anyone that I've not seen first, cast the stone. Amen. Simple answer to a complex question. And then the people looked at themselves, judged themselves, assessed themselves, and then left their stones there and left the woman. And Jesus said, where are thine accusers? And she said, they are not here anymore. Jesus said, if no man has condemned thee, I too have not condemned you. Just go. When you go, don't sin again. Praise God. Can you imagine the kind of feeling that that woman will have at that point? I thought I would have been slaughtered. But you know, he just let me off the hook. So, a leader will provide instruments, equipment, tools for the vision that God has given. And there are different instruments for sight. For instance, mirror. Mirror means faithful depiction or reflection. So one of the instruments of vision that a leader should provide, that you must seek to provide for those you are leading, is a mirror. Be a mirror. Ability to reflect. A mirror is a polished surface that forms images. Now, when you stand before a mirror, it gives you a polished reflection of yourself. And then when you look at yourself from the mirror, you'll be able to make necessary adjustment. And then you will gain confidence in yourself. So a leader provides mirror. That when you are communicating the vision, after you are through with communicating the vision, what people see in you gives them the confidence that this is a possibility. The Bible speaking about Joshua and Caleb, especially Caleb, he stood in the midst of the tent and stilled the people. In the midst of the crying and shouting, he was able to quiet them for a while and say, listen to me, I also have an opinion. He said, before us, they said we look like grasshoppers, but they are like bread in our hands. Let us go out at once and we will deal with them. That's a leader. Providing something for people to see and gain confidence. When David went to Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail because of these Philistines. I will go and fight him. I was keeping my father's sheep and the lion came and I messed up the destiny of the lion. I was keeping my father's sheep and the wolf came or the bear came. I messed up his life. This man shall be like that in my hand. That's enough mirror of conviction. And Saul said, you can go. Amen. So one of the tools you need to provide for vision is mirror. Another tool is what I call telescope. Telescope is a magnifier of images of distant object. A telescope magnifies images at distant object. So one of the tools you need to provide for your people is the ability to make something that is far to look big. Amen? The thing is, at a distance there, you know, there are some projects or there are some goals that are called long-term goals. The thing is far there, but you are able to bring it closer for your people to understand what you mean. They have not stepped in first. You know, when God was telling the people of Israel in the land of Egypt that there is a land I have prepared for you, the land is flowing with milk and honey. He was trying to bring something that was distance closer to them. Now, it doesn't literally mean that when you enter Canaan, that you begin to see milk and honey flowing everywhere. Praise God. No. Those were just symbolic statements. God was trying to bring the thing closer to them, for them to begin to fall in love with the place, even when they are yet to step into the place. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. What will stop us from getting into that land? In fact, we should even kill to get there. So, one of the tools you provide to clarify vision is telescope. Telescope is that instrument that magnifies distance object. You look at it from a distance and the instrument is bringing it before you and make it look very big so that you'll be able to see it. So you should have that ability inside of you. It's a long-term goal. It is something that is not achievable in the next 20 years. But you make it look as if it can be achievable in the next 2 years. What would that do? It will serve as a motivation for the people to begin and say, let's keep counting, let's keep going. Amen. In Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod and others gathered the people together and said, let us build a mansion that the top will reach up to God. By this time, there was nothing on the ground. But he was telling them, we want a place that will get to the roof of heaven so that when we need to talk to God, we don't need to fast too much. We just go knock at his door. And that serves as a motivation. Is this possible? And somebody is telling you it's possible. Praise the Lord. Another vision magnifier or a vision tool is a microscope. Microscope magnifies the image of small objects. So another ability that a leader must provide is the microscope ability, the ability to magnify small things and make them look big. In biology, we were told that there are organisms that are too small for the physical eyes to see. And in order for you to see such organisms, you do what? You use the microscope. And so when you use the microscope, you begin to see. Now, there is this instrument my father used to have, hand lens. Now, if you carry that hand lens and put close to your skin, you begin to see the hair follicle in your body that your naked eyes cannot see. It magnifies small things. And every leader must possess that inherent ability to make little things look big before the people. Otherwise, they would disregard small things. And the Bible says that do not despise the days of little beginning. For though your beginning may be small, but your latter end shall greatly increase. Let them understand that sweeping the church is not a meager work. Let them understand that being an usher is not just a work that should be disregarded. It is a big thing. You may be doing what seems small, but the responsibility of a leader is to make them understand that thing, though it may not look physically big, but that thing is very important in the calendar of God. Praise the Lord. Another vision tool is what they call in science binoculars. Binoculars. They are optical instruments for simultaneous use by both eyes. You use them, your both eyes can begin to see. And so every leader must have that ability to see with both eyes. Praise God. You are not only one-sided. You don't only see when the things are by your left side. Binoculars, ability to see with your both eyes. See it well. so that when you hear a thing, you don't judge one-sided judgment. Another one is camera. Camera is an equipment to take photographs. So a leader must have that ability inside of him or her to be able to have pictures of events, pictures of the future. You are able to capture it in your mind's eye and then present it to the people. This is how it should be. This is how it looks like. You didn't need to have seen it anywhere, or you just have a picture. I said, let's make this thing like this. Instead of making it straight, let's see how it can go. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you must have that ability to be able to have a picture of what God is saying and present it even when it is not existing anywhere. There's another thing that is called zoom lens. Zoom lens, that camera that magnifies image. There's another thing that is called the side mirrors, often used in cars. So be able to see and see very well. Amen. A leader also repairs the eyesight problems of people and their tools of sight that is missing in their vehicles. So one of the work of a leader is to also repair the eyesight or the eyesight problems that people have. A lot of people will come under your leadership that are having problems to see well, not seeing physically now. He said, this, my wife, is a devil. If I don't send her out of the house, I don't think I will survive. And a leader begins to see the angel in that wife and begins to open it up to the man and said, this, your wife, is more of an angel than she is a devil. Have you ever considered this? Have you ever considered that? I don't think this job will work for me. A leader begins to say, no. If you do it like this, it's going to work. Praise God. Now, that's the ability of a leader, because sometimes followers can be unnecessarily passionate. The Bible says zeal without knowledge will lead to destruction. Sometimes people are just zealous. Someone has come to me and said, I want to resign my appointment so that I can have time and work in the house of God. The work I'm doing does not give me time. That's a passionate thing to hear as a pastor. And I could have said, because I want to have you around all the time, go resign. But I said, no, that's not the best thing to do. Because if you resign your appointment now and start coming to church almost every day, one day you'll become a burden to the church and to God. It is the same you that will say, I didn't have transport, that's why I couldn't come. It is the same you that will say, I didn't have offering, that's why I couldn't come. So I say, keep doing the job. Anytime it gives you time to come to church, you come. Praise God. Until such a time that God will change it for you and give you a better job that will afford you the time. But now you need money to come. You need money for transportation. You need money for offering. So keep doing what? The job. Praise God. It will not be of any gain for me to have you every day in church. And when we need to buy one bag of cement, you can't provide it. Amen. There's no gain. No, everything about church is not speaking in tongues. I hope you know. Everything about church is not people well-dressed and seated. There are other things that it demands. So, keep doing the work so that you can be able to serve God better. I told a sister who had HIV, I said, go and take retroviral drugs while we're exercising faith. Praise God. Because it is only a man that is alive that can have faith. If you are not alive, you cannot exercise faith. The sister said, this HIV is not my portion. It is the devil that is sick. Now forget about that religious language. If you are sick, you are sick. And some people say, no, be me, not devil. The devil is not sick anything. It is not the devil that is feeling the symptom. It is you that is feeling the symptom. So deal with it. Praise God. Deal with it as it is. And don't try to be religious about it. I said, keep taking the retroviral drugs to boost your immune system. So that it is not the drug that will cure you, but God will cure. They keep saying, it cannot be me. It is not in my system. It is there. And she didn't listen and she died. She's forgotten today. Praise God. But you know, I've also told another person who had HIV, go do that, and then we'll be praying. And today the HIV is no longer in that person's system. Praise God. Because he was alive until faith manifested. Amen. So a leader will need to correct the side problems of people. Now, because it's not everybody that comes around you that is seen very well. And so you need to tell them what they are not seeing right so that they can see it. Jesus laid his hands on a blind man and said, "Can you see?" He said, "I see men like trees moving." Jesus said, "It's not in my time." Praise God. You know, some leaders would have been excited. So you can even see. Praise God! They will put you in a billboard and say, "I laid hands on him and he's seen." Did you ask him what he's seen and how he's seen? Praise God. Because people can see different things. Amen. After laying your hands and he goes back home and begin to see everybody as if they are walking with their head down and their two legs up, and you are happy. You have already pestered the man on the billboard. "This is the man that saw under my ministry." Ask him, "How are you seeing?" He said, "I'm seeing men walking like trees." Jesus said, "You need another touch." Praise God. Because if I allow you to go like this, even your wife will become a tree. Your first son will become a tree. Your governor will become a tree. Even me, I'm in danger. Praise God. Because when you see me like a tree, what will you do? You do what they do to trees. You want to climb me. Praise God. So he laid his hands on him again and he said, "Now, are you seeing where?" He said, "I see men like men." Praise God. So one of our responsibility, one of our duties as leaders is to correct the eyesight of people. Make them see well. Make them understand why God has called them. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." That's a leader who understood his work. Lord, open his eyes. Gehazi, his servant, his follower, had a high problem. And it was the responsibility of Elisha to ensure that those problems are no more. God opened his eyes, and his eyes were open. So sometimes it pays as a leader to pray and demand, "God, open the eyes of my people to also see the way I am seeing these things so that it will be easy for them to cooperate." It is one thing to stand before your followers and give them instruction, and then they begin to drag their feet whether to follow that instruction or not. A lot of the time, if they don't see what you see, they are likely not going to give you a speedy response or the kind of response you like. So it pays for a leader to say, "Lord, open the eyes of my people. Let them see from my perspective. Let them see the way I see." When Peter's eye was opened for him to see Elijah, Moses, and Jesus, he said, "Lord, there is no point leaving this place. I'm going to build 3 tents here, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, so that we can dwell here all the days of our life." It's because he saw something and he was easily motivated to build. He didn't say, "I will go and look for people to partner with me and build." He said, "I will build." In other words, he was determined to use his last dime to put off those structures. Why? Because he was able to see. If he didn't see, and then Jesus was saying, "You see, we need to build 3 tents here. One will be for me, one will be for Moses, one will be for Elijah." It would have been easy for them to say, "Well, the one that will be for you, we will do it." But we don't understand Elijah's own and Moses' own. They are not here. So how do you want us to build a tent for them? Isn't that going to be an economic waste? Because they are not going to come to occupy it. But because his eyes were open and he saw, and he was self-motivated. So as leaders, we have that responsibility to ensure that people behind us also see that you are not the only person seeing. When you begin to see, when Gehazi saw, his confidence returned. A leader must not be blind. A leader must not be blind. I'm not talking about physical blindness here, because there are people who cannot physically see, but yet they have what it takes to lead people aright. I'm talking about your sensitivity. I'm talking about your ability to be able to draw information from the throne room of grace. I'm talking about the capacity to know beyond your today. I'm talking about the capacity to be able to predict, to be able to foretell, the capacity to know what to do to avert a danger that has not come. I read that the leaders of Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, that is commonly called the UAE, they have oil, but they sat back 50 years ago and they said, what do we do, or what can we do so that if by chance this oil is no more, our city will still be one of the best cities. And they decided to turn that area into an entertainment zone. And they decided to diversify into hospitality. They decided to diversify into trade and into many things. And today, they are one of the richest nations of the world. In fact, if you are wealthy and you have not gone to Dubai, you have not gone anywhere yet. Praise God. Everyone wants to go to Dubai. What is bringing in money to the economy is these people that go every time for holidays, for shopping. 50 years ago, some leaders sat and said, let's do this. Now that's ability to see beyond the present circumstance, beyond the good things that are happening now. Now it was a high quality leadership for Nimrod to have gathered the people in Genesis chapter 11 and demanded of them to build a tower that the height will reach heaven. Even if the motive was wrong, but it was a show of the capacity to see. It has never happened before. And I say, let's build a high-rise building that the height will be so high to heaven. And they began to do it. They provided the raw materials for themselves. And they did the work by themselves. And they were almost successful at the work if God didn't intervene. Remember the testimony of God. He said, these people, nothing will stop them from achieving their goal because they are one. Everything about them is determined and set up for this. Now, that's a leader who is able to see. He sits in his house and is able to see the height of the building already. And said, we can do it. Let's begin. So, four positions a leader must not occupy. A leader must not be blind. Number two, a leader must not be dumb. That is, cannot speak. And there are so many leaders littered on the face of the earth, including the body of Christ, who are leaders, but they don't have the boldness of speech. They see it. They can't say it. Is it that they are too intimidated to say it? Or they don't have courage to say it? Or what they are seeing is too big for their mouth to say? A leader must not occupy the position of dumbness. A leader must not be dumb. Even when your ideas don't sound good, but you are able to convince your followers and say, this is what it is. Let's go this way. It will help us. Even when popular opinion is not subscribing to it, but you are bold to say, if we do it like this, it will work. And at the end, people follow you and find out that it's working. So a leader must have the boldness of speech, be able to speak out. The problem between so many husband and wife is speech. You know, there are men who don't like what is going on, but they can't just say it. Somehow, they don't have courage enough to tell their spouse or their wives, this thing you are doing, I don't like it. Rather, he models everything up inside of him. He gets angry unnecessarily because what he should have said with his mouth is inside his heart and is getting him uncomfortable. So you must pray for the ability to speak. You know, sometimes, even in classroom, a teacher is teaching, he's asking a question, and there are people who know it, but they can't raise up their hands and say, I know it. Oftentimes, the people that answer questions in the class are not the most brilliant, but they are the bold. Praise God. They are bold. And because they are bold, they keep answering the question, and the teacher begins to see them as being brilliant. Unconsciously, that quality of excellence begins to come. Because as they begin to do so, the teachers begin to pay special attention to them. Praise God. Unconsciously, they begin to see themselves as leaders. And let me say this, that in the midst of many people, it is not the most brilliant that is the leader. It is the one who is bold that will be the leader. In the midst of many, a lot of time is not the most brilliant. Sometimes you go to a classroom, even in a school setting, that the class rep is not the most brilliant of all the students. The class rep didn't make a first class, but yet he is chosen as the class rep. Why? He is very bold. And that quality of boldness must not be lacking if we are going to be effective in our leadership. Some persons are not even bold to talk to their customers. They are not bold to talk to their client. They said, this thing that you are giving us, we are not going to pay you 200 naira, we are going to pay you 100 naira. And you know that 100 naira is not good enough for you. And then you just keep quiet and go and grumbling in your heart. No, walk up to the person and say, sir, 100 naira is not good enough for me. It is 150 or no deal. Praise God. Some people may not like you, but at least they will not be able to ignore you. They may not like you, but at least they know what you stand for. Say, this person will always speak out his mind. So a leader must not be dumb. Number three position a leader must not occupy is the lame. That is, cannot walk. A leader must have the ability to walk. You cannot afford to be lame. You cannot afford to be the one that people are helping when you need to be helping others. So you must do everything possible to strengthen your legs so that you will lead them. You know, I've said before that a leader does not lead from behind. A leader leads from the front. He stays at the forefront and others queue up behind him. I say, follow me as I'm following Christ. Follow me and let's go. Praise God. So a leader should not be the one that the whole congregation and the whole followers are trying to contribute community effort to assist him. Praise God. So people have anointing to recycle, anointing to repackage, make old things to look new and look fresh. That is good, but it's not going to take you far. Hear new things. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 8. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes. What an irony. It is not possible to have eyes and yet you are not seen. And God said, bring them forth. They need a touch. They need a deliverance. They need a change. And I pray for you this year that your eyes will not be for fun. That when you open it, you will see. And when you close it, you will also see. That's the best level to operate. That you don't only see when your eyes are open, that even when you close your eyes in sleep. Job said the Lord revealed the secret to his servant in his bed. That even when your both eyes are closed, you are still seeing. That's where God wants us to be.